Let's welcome the President Ken King to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Rob. Good morning to you and Ryan. Nice to be here.
Before we get to the big business, which is Calgary Next, and a very important business, you took care of some business this week. Always important to get a captain on board, right?
Yeah, no kidding. That was a long process, but it was a pretty neat process working with a very, very high quality individual, obviously. So I think everybody respects and appreciates what the deal looks like, and the rest of the guys on our team are pretty pumped about it too.
Meanwhile, lots of work for you to take care of. You've got a football team that's in Winnipeg getting set for Labor Day this weekend. You've got a junior hockey team that I believe rookies are reporting today. You've got a bunch of NHL players that are starting to come to town. Business, as they say, is picking up.
This is the intersection. There's a couple of intersections in our business where everything comes together. Of all the four teams, our WHL Junior Hitmen and the Roughnecks and the Stamps, they never all four play at exactly the same time, but the three of them play at the same time. It's fun when that happens.
With Ken King, here to take your phone calls, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, Star 960. The topic today is Calgary Next. It was 10 days ago, Ken, that you held meetings and a media availability and introduced, I guess, the city of the world to Calgary Next. Those past 10 days, how would you describe them? What have you been up to?
Pretty neat, actually. We've been talking to a lot of people. It's ironic, I think. 10 days ago, nobody knew, and it would appear not very many people cared about a thing called West Village.
Yeah.
So, and we sort of anticipated that what would happen is, as we drew attention to it and as our proposal, which of course is what it is, a proposal and a vision, not an announcement of a facility, has got lots of attention. Looking at the research that some have conducted, obviously we're conducting our own research, is it was pretty favorably received. You always know there are going to be prevailing winds and different issues. The emerging issues, the big one, of course, is the creosote. I think more people in Calgary know more about creosote than they ever thought they wanted to know. But I think it's a really important story. The whole tax issue, if you will, and I hope we get a chance to sort of segregate all the pieces of the funding so people can understand that better. And when they do, I think, generally speaking, people appreciate this. Isn't the trite question, isn't, well, taxpayers' money for hockey players and hockey owners is that. And the more people we see, the more people we talk to, the more people we help understand the project, it would seem, the more favorably disposed they are to it.
Care to react? A story in the Calgary Herald this morning about the Creosote situation and the fact that I believe possible that the company itself ultimately could be held responsible. I know at the time it would seem like it was going to be your group, the three levels of federal government. Care to respond to the story that appeared in the Herald today?
Well, it's a great story, and I think it's a really important story. When we went through this file a couple of years ago, it was bizarre to me to find out some of the issues, including how a polluter might avoid dealing with paying for the cleanup and that type of thing. But I think, frankly, if nothing else, I think we've brought attention to a very serious issue, which I expect will be dealt with, and will be dealt with in the most appropriate way, and that is cleaned up. And I think we can all be grateful in the city for that. And it'll be interesting to watch how that unfolds.
Ultimately, if the company involved is held responsible and they have to pay for it, that's a good situation,
well,
right? It gets done, right?
Maybe not so good for them.
No, absolutely.
I think it simplifies the situation for sure.
Ken King is with us. Your questions on Calgary Next, the arena project, the idea. We want to get to the phone lines, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, Star 960. We welcome Stephanie in this morning. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Your question for Mr. King.
My question is about the pricing of tickets versus the seat count of the new arena. It looks like ticket prices will go up and there'll be less seats for fans.
Actually, Stephanie, I'm sorry, have you concluded that?
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Steph. The fact is there'll be about the same number of seats. We've used a range of 18,500 to 19,500. We have 19,300 now, and my guess is we'll have almost identical, maybe a few more, maybe a few less, which really has only to do with technical sight lines and that type of thing. So just assume the same number of seats. the ticket prices, as you know, there's always sort of a onward movement with them. We believe in fairness and a kind of a market driven ticket price. Mm-hmm. You now pay, you don't know this probably, but you now pay a small tax, about 2%, which goes to the facility and to help maintain it and that type of thing. We're not adding a tax on top of a tax, actually. And frankly, I wish we hadn't called it a tax. It's a user pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you think of something in the order of 8%, give or take, if you looked at a $50 ticket or a $100 ticket, you're looking at $4 or $8, something like that. Whatever it turns out to be, Stephanie, I think it's really important to understand that this isn't an effort to change the pricing dynamic. The market, you decide what you're prepared to pay, and we can't be over aggressive on that. So, not fewer seats, and certainly some modest increase due to the user pay process.
Ken King is with us, taking your phone calls, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customer, *960. We're talking about the vision of Calgary Next, West Village. I believe we're going to Fayez. Fayez, good evening, or good morning, sorry. I worked the other shift. Good morning, Fayez.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Your question?
My question is, I'm just pretty curious about the contamination in that land. How much would it cost, roughly, like your guys' budget to clean it up for the contamination?
Fayez, nobody knows the answer to that question. There's been lots of speculation. The range, which frankly I'm not sure has a great deal of validity to it, but it ranges from $50 million to $300 million. The good news is we'll find out exactly what it's going to be within scope, because now there's attention being paid to it.
But somebody physically has to go in and monitor and test that site, and that has yet to happen, and hand you a... You know, it's like a plumber coming over to your house going, here's the bill. This is what it's going to cost.
And there's quite correct. And there's also lots of ways to deal with it. There's not one simple solution. So now the 50 to 300 wasn't picked out of the air. There has been work done on this site. Consultants have looked at it. Mm-hmm. There have been broad looks at it. But you need to look real close and figure out exactly what it's going to be.
Your questions for Ken King on Calgary Next, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customer, *960. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. Your question for Mr. King.
Mr. King, I got a question there. Your location, is that set in stone down there, or do you have another location? Because, I don't know, to me, having a downtown like that, how congested it is between the Bow Trail and Crowchild. And I know a few people that are season tickets holder for the Stampeders and for the Flames, and they already said there's no way they're going to go downtown.
Thanks,
well,
Peter.
Peter, fair question. So if you've been to a football game at McMahon Stadium, or if you've been to the Scotiabank Saddledome, you'll understand that getting to those places and getting away from those places is not a simple chore either. They're not filled with interchanges and a lot of issues. So we're accustomed, people in Calgary are accustomed to that. The fact that there are potentially, and now I say potentially because transportation people need to weigh in on this, two access and egress points on either side of our conceived project actually should be a great benefit. The whole Crowchild snarl issue is a separate issue. That has to be dealt with
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what you find with these things is that you stimulate the contamination issue, you stimulate the traffic issue, you stimulate the whole notion of developing West Village, and it gets real close scrutiny, which is what we wanted to do. So I said at the press conference that we do not have a plan B.
Right.
This is our preferred option. Really, if you start to fall back to plan Bs, what happens is you get competing visions. We'd like to see this through, go the distance, and if we can make it happen, we think it'll be wonderful, and if not, then we'll have to reconsider our options.
To Peter's point, that seems to be something that we see consistently on the text line, emails, and you talk to people. The congestion, the fact that there's just the one road in behind there, how do you connect to the C-train, and parking comes up. Are these the same things you're hearing, Ken?
Yep, absolutely, yeah. The emerging issues, if you will, are the CRL and the creosote and traffic and parking and that type of thing. You can't even contemplate looking at a project like this without having a reasonable disposition on, okay, what has to happen, what's it going to cost to happen. And a lot of people, I think, said, well, why don't you have all those answers? Well, that's what this process was about, was to to stimulate city management people who I'm meeting with this afternoon, have met with often and frequently before this, and Calgary Municipal Land Corporation, and there's a lot of moving parts here, and there's going to be a lot of there has been a lot of work done and a lot more work to do to answer those questions.
Ken King, the president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, here to answer your questions about Calgary Next, the West Village, 403-240-4444. Rogers Wireless, star 960. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Your question for Ken.
I was just about the new football stadium, 30,000 seats. Do you think that's enough? And it's not, in my mind, which I could be wrong, it's not taking second fiddle to this the new hockey arena as far as, you know, sprucing it up and stuff like that, is it?
Not actually a really good question, both on the seat number and the other second issue. What's happening is I think McMahon has been subordinated in the past a bit. We've done a fair amount of work. We spent a couple of million bucks on a new video board, and we've done some things there at McMahon. But this actually accelerates the notion. Not very many people were talking about a new football stadium. Because of the fieldhouse option, the consideration there, it gives us not an option to subordinate it, but actually to bring it to light. So I'm thrilled that we can talk about a new football stadium. 30,000 seats is about right for this market. If you go to Hamilton, now we're bigger than Hamilton, yeah, but they put in 25. You want a full building, we're drawing about 28, 29,000 now. There are sometimes when the green people come to town, God bless them, where it goes above that, and on Labor Day and that type of thing. But on balance, 30,000 seems to be a sweet spot. I don't think anybody's going to get shut out.
But if you were to host a Grey Cup,
yes,
what could you expand it to?
50,000.
You could.
And I
okay.
think that's really key, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
And is that an easy expansion, Ken?
Yes. Okay. It's built for expansion. No, you don't expand it for the Labor Day game. You expand it for very special events, international events, or a Grey Cup.
Right.
You have to. And it's not that aluminum scaffold thing that people were so treacherously going up and down the last time we hosted the Grey Cup here. It's a legitimate expansion, a technical expansion, and it works. So
and I know you and I are still trying to make plans to go up to Edmonton to see AC/DC later on in September. But the other aspect of this is to bring big concerts that we have been missing to Commonwealth Stadium. Obviously,
yeah.
That
yeah, you get a you, yeah. It opens another entire venue
right.
for that. Now we've budgeted to have two or three the
concerts a year.
Yeah,
out what we would call in this case not really outdoor,
not
but,
outdoor. It's got a roof on it.
But, right. Yeah.
So it does a great job for us that way. Good job for the city.
Right.
Those cultural events are important. People are going to Edmonton and to Vancouver and even to Saskatoon in some instances to see the people that bypass us here. Individually, all of these things in their own right are not a reason to do things. But when you aggregate and accumulate them, there's a very compelling story why we should do this.
403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customer, star 960. Your questions for Ken King on Calgary Next. Tyson, good morning.
Good morning, guys. My question is, well, what he just kind of touched base on there. New field house. People are complaining that public money might go into it and so on and so forth. But my question is, have you talked to Tourism Calgary? Have you looked at how much it's going to benefit the Calgary economy having this new field house and how it's going to bring in more tourism, how it's going to create more jobs? Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of the stats and figures, projections, you know, extrapolations that you've come across that you think that's going to benefit Calgarians?
So we think that the entire project is going to be a great tourist attraction, and that comes in a few different ways. I mean, we have busloads of people right now that come to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and tour it. There aren't millions of them, but there's certainly thousands that come through there in the summer as a natural choice. So this will pick that up. The field house is a public facility.
Right.
If you isolate everything else, and it is the number one recreational priority, as stated by the city and the Fieldhouse Society, who since 1967 have been trying to get this to happen, mm-hmm. It's really important for amateur athletes. And I think it's really critical that people understand that that's what it is. Now, we'll play 10 and perhaps 11 and in a Grey Cup year, 12 football games there. And that's a way to get a new football stadium. Although Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Hamilton, and Ottawa have built a case for how 9 or 10 football games can support their new stadiums, almost completely publicly funded.
Right.
We think this is a more efficient. So Calgary Tourism, Alberta Tourism, Calgary Economic Development, Chamber of Commerce, all of those groups look at this project and have their own extrapolations and their own views of the benefits that will come to it. Clearly there are benefits. Now, you want to spin a tale about it being worth X, Y, or Z millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of visitors. I think that's easy to do, but in reality, I think it's a logical step that this is going to be really good for the economy, $900 million worth of trades jobs, construction jobs, then the additional jobs that are going to be associated with developing West Village and actually even cleaning up the creosote. And then, of course, the ongoing benefits, the economic benefits that accrue.
Ken King in studio till 8 o'clock this morning, taking your phone calls on Calgary Next. We'll take one more caller before our first break here in this hour. Justin, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for taking the time. Mr. King, actually, I don't really have a question for you. I just wanted to express my appreciation towards you and your partners and towards this project. It's great to see the vision that has been put forth, and I think it's great for Calgarians, and we should be excited for this project. It's a long time coming, and we owe you a lot of thank you in this. So,
well, you, that's very thoughtful of you to say. Actually, you don't owe us anything. I think when a community and people like you and others can come together and try and do something good, I just think that's the right thing to do. Our ownership group, in their own right, in their own philanthropy, which is they would be critical of me for expressing it, but I love to brag about them because they're great citizens, and clearly there's a great benefit to everybody here.
Really appreciate Ryan Finder and Peter Labardius opening up the studio for us today. Ken King, the president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, in studio taking your phone calls. 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, *960. And I'm a little rusty at this, so I should remind you that once you ask the question, we are going to hang up and you can listen off the air. We've got a lot of interest in this, so we want to get as many people through. And once again, if people want more information, Ken, on the project, calgarynext.com is the website.
That's it. It's got a big list of FAQs there. Some of the questions they may ask this morning may be answered more eloquently there than I can here.
Let's go back to the phone lines and let's welcome Richard in this morning. Richard, good morning. Your question for Ken.
Hey, thanks, guys. With regards to the actual site itself, notwithstanding the creosote and all that other stuff, I'm just curious, with going through the floods and all the mitigation process and dealing with all that, why we would spend potentially $1 billion on a world-class facility and build it closer to potential danger than what you already have existing?
Awesome question, Richard. Now, there's been some experts, including one, I think, professor from Saskatchewan who've talked about it. Giancarlo Cara, the ward counselor actually for Ramsey and Stampede Grounds, I think put it really well. The actual floodplain for Calgary is 16th Avenue north-south, so mm-hmm. build an arc when that happens. Mm-hmm. The flood maps, and including the last flood of 2013, this area did not flood. As you know, we did significantly.
Yep.
We actually had a flood in the hailstorm 2.5 weeks ago, whenever that was.
Right.
No, it wasn't as severe as the other one, but it was serious. So we're in a huge floodplain now. This floodplain is far superior, and you have to build a building that works in that area. So we're improving our situation. The fact that we're close to a river, I mean, we're close to a river now, but the fact that we're close to a river is only ironic in the sense that it's a better place to be relative to floods.
Let's get back to the phone lines, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, *960. Your questions for Ken King. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, good morning, guys. Mr. King, I just have a question for you, just with regards to the actual, like the drawings that have been kind of released. I don't know how preliminary those are, but my concern would be the way that the seating is set up. It seems to be like one big consistent ring around the actual field house or the football stadium. So the problem that I would see is that there's the same amount of seating in, let's call it the high demand areas between the, you know, the 20 yard lines. But then there's that, there's a whole bunch of seating at the end zones, which, I mean, we all know are going to be a low demand ticket, let's say, right? So is, are the, how preliminary are those drawings where, or are, is the design going to change a little bit? Because there's, I don't think there's enough seating in the center of the field versus the outer.
Scott, great question. They are preliminary, and I can show you three or four different iterations of them. But if you look closely, what you'll see is that actually one end of that entire field house is actually gymnasia and badminton and basketball and all the courts mm-hmm. on one side. Almost all of these seats will be in the great zone. Now, there'll be more on one side than another because of a shadowing issue, and that is these buildings slope down to the river. There is a law. I think it's a good law. We thought it was for the fish, but it's actually for the people, where you cannot cast a shadow on the river. The Bow Tower actually was intended to be two floors higher. And in order to comply with that rule, so they're going to be where you want them to be, maybe more on one side than the other. But because it's a covered stadium, it's not going to make any difference.
Your questions for Ken King, president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. We're talking about Calgary next. 403-240-4444. Rogers Wireless customers, *960. Ken in studio with us till 8 o'clock this morning. Trevor, good morning.
Good morning.
Your question, sir.
I've got a couple questions. First one, regarding the roof, I know you're looking at a translucent material, but I was wondering if a retractable roof was an option. And the second question I have is, as far as being a season ticket holder, how, or if you have determined the new seating arrangements in the new stadiums.
Trevor, both good questions. On the retractable roof, we looked at it. In fact, we even looked at a design. It's about $150 million. We thought that might just be a stretch too far. When you look at climates, if you look at any of the retractable roofs, even in Toronto at Rogers Centre, they're expensive, they're complicated, they're not very efficient. It's either too hot or it's too cold to open them. And the rare time when it would be ideal, I mean, we all love a hot August night to watch a football game. I think that's pretty clear.
Yep.
But those are sufficiently rare that it just didn't make economic sense for the roof. And on the seating, I think we just spoke about that with the previous caller, and that is that 30,000 is the sweet spot. There'll be great seats. They'll be comfortable, and they'll be inside.
I asked you this question when we sat down and talked last week, and I'll ask it again, Ken. As you go through this process, you know, you get feedback from people. Is there, you know, the ability to make changes?
Yep.
I know that the roof is an interesting one, right? Because people kind of react instantly to that. You did season ticket holder meetings. As the 10 days have gone on, how big an issue has that been for people?
Very, very small issue. Now,
okay. We
did a survey, and I did a hand survey. We talked to a couple thousand people last week, so... Mm. I said, so how many of you would like the romantic notion of a CFL field, open air, summer, winter, the whole nine yards? A few. I said, how many of you would be okay? Now, I didn't say how many of you would prefer, but how many would be okay with a roof? And it was overwhelmingly, it was like 95% would prefer to have a roof. Notwithstanding, we all want that beautiful night outside.
No doubt about it. Your questions for Ken King, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, *960. And a reminder, we will get you to ask your question, and then we will hang up so we can get more callers on the line, and you can listen offline. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Jeff. Your question.
Just wondering what your plans were for the old Saddle Dome site. What you guys are just going to tear it down, build something else, or what your plans were when it comes to that?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. The Saddle Dome is owned by the city, so ultimately it will be their decision in terms of what happens to it. In our presentation, we had sort of a straw man concept where you would put an undermined floor in the middle, maybe use it for trade shows and that type of thing. That was just an idea. What will happen is a consulting process. We'll look at it. What can it be used for? It's a bit limited. It's an inverted concrete pyramid, if you think about it. Those seats are sitting on concrete that run from the top to the bottom. So it's not easy, but there may be some interesting options, but that is a decision for the city. I think a lot of people think that it belongs to the Stampede. It doesn't, and it doesn't belong to us either. But we're interested in what happens with it for sure.
Is there an opportunity for you to partner with the city on some sort of project that would come out of the next level? Is
maybe,
any interest?
Maybe.
It depends.
Depends on what we do with it, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. or what is determined to be done with it. In Edmonton, Northlands, KPMG actually issued a very serious report. I think it's probably a public document. And it ran the gamut of options and costs associated with continuing to operate the building and that type of thing. It's interesting reading. And I think similarly here, you'd look at a study that says, okay, what should we do? What could we do? And what's most appropriate and what's most economical?
The website is calgarynext.com, talking about the vision moving forward, West Village. What are we looking for in our community? Ken King, the president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, our guest until 8 o'clock, taking your phone calls this morning, 403-240-4444. Rogers Wireless customers, *960, will sneak in a couple of texts here in the next couple of minutes as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, Milad.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. King, where does it exactly start? Behind the Mercedes, so the Greyhound bus depot goes, GSL, and your old buddy Mike Tarp's Renford Chrysler, is that all going to be all gone?
Yeah, if you look at the site now, I should qualify this, that the city, Calgary Municipal Land Corporation, who really the shareholders are of the city, they determine the CRL area or the area that West Village would contain. They draw a line around it. But you're right. Fundamentally, it's kind of the bus depot going west is what it would be, down to the pump house. And I've talked to Scott at the Pump House Theater. We think there's a great option for them, and actually going to meet with some folks associated with them later to see if there's something even bolder that might take place with them. So you're right, that is the area, and that is the area that is where the land is owned by the city.
Great interest. The phone lines are jammed. Ryan, you're also paying attention to the text line. You got a couple of questions from the text line?
Yeah, 960-960 if you want to get involved. Question for Ken coming in. Has there been any discussion on what a lease would look like on the arena? You've obviously mentioned the city would own the arena, but you guys would manage it. And would the $200 million from the ownership group, is any of that expected to go towards a lease or not?
Well, of course it is, but that's a negotiation. We now hit the period, prior to a negotiating period is going to be a consulting period that looks at everything from traffic to contamination, environmental contamination cleanup and all of those things. So that is film at 11. That's what you negotiate. That's what you talk about. And it's a really public process. What I'm really happy about is that we can talk about any and all things. I talked with some real naysayers yesterday. I had a mm-hmm. meeting with them, and they went away. I don't think I convinced them entirely, but I think they understood better what we're trying to do. And that's really what we'd like to spend some time and energy doing is, what about this field house? What about the stadium? What about the number of seats? What about all of those elements? And we'll just have to work through them. You had to start, and we lit the fuse last Tuesday, and it will continue to burn until we work through all of these issues.
Ryan, another text?
Yeah, someone's curious about the field house. This is kind of terminology that not everyone was familiar with before the Calgary Next project was on the scene for most of us. Is there any compatibility with baseball at all or not?
Not really. You could have perhaps minor league baseball, but basically the field portion of it. So good question on the definition of a field house. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, it's an enclosed. Edmonton has had the Kinsman Field House for decades. And more laterally have, I'm not sure what it's called, but another field house. Most major cities, most even normal-sized cities in Canada have a field house. It's for amateur sports. It's gymnasia, it's courts, badminton, soccer fields. They have a kind of a rectangular kind of play across the field as opposed to down the field. But baseball is doesn't work very well unless it were very young kids on a very small diamond.
Ken King is with us, taking your phone calls on Calgary Next, 403-240-4444, Rogers Wireless customers, *960. Ken, good enough to join us until 8 o'clock tonight. And it's okay for me to announce you're going to be back with us next Tuesday in the afternoon as well to do the same
thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Part of the public engagement.
We just want to hear from people. Just right. Bring it on. Let us know what you think and let us help try and clarify anything that we can do. That's really important.
Good morning, Phil. Your question for Ken.
Hi, Ken. Just curious if there's been any plans for relocating the dealerships, the Greyhound or the Pump House Theater.
I spoke with, well, Pump House Theater, I think, can remain. And as I say, we're going to meet with them to talk about maybe even potential for expansion. And that's sort of visionary. That's dreaming. There's no plan in existence right now, but we'd like to talk to them about it. The car dealerships both have demolition clauses.
What does that mean, Ken?
Well, basically, if the city chooses to develop West Village, then their leases are impacted by that. I spoke with the most senior Canadian executive, Mr. Kendricks, from Greyhound, and he said what he would really like would be a better deal on his lease, but he understands and appreciates what we're trying to do. He was really, really cool to talk to. I'm going to meet with him when he comes here. And actually, I think they would like to have another facility in another part of the city, actually. Now, he did bring up the idea of an intermodal aspect of this project, which we are going to discuss. That is even more preliminary than some of the stuff we've talked about. Could you conceivably integrate an intermodal bus transport in our facility? Maybe.
Okay.
Who knows, but we're going to talk about it.
Because I think TD Bank Gardens in Boston is built right on top of a major train station and transportation hub.
Yeah, well, so is Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, absolutely.
In New York.
Let's squeeze one more caller in before the break. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. King. A couple clarifying questions. One is the Fieldhouse Stadium, is that also proposed to be the Stampeders practice facility, or would there be a separate practice facility for football? And the other question is, with respect to the translucent roof, my understanding was sort of that would be on the stadium fieldhouse part of the project, but I think there's some confusion whether that would also be on the arena.
Yeah, no, you're right. Let's end that confusion. First off, the translucent roof, when we went to Minnesota, because in the new Minnesota Vikings stadium,
right,
half the roof is solid and half has got a membrane that's translucent, is a like to, a want to, not a have to. It would be nice to be able to look up and see the sky and the clouds and the sun and that type of thing in a controlled environment. For sure, the event center or the arena would have to have a solid roof. Obviously, it has to be structurally sound. That's part of the reason we're building a new one. So that's the issue there. And what was the other point?
The practice facility.
Oh,
would that also, the field house also be the practice facility?
Yeah, John Huffnagel and I have talked a lot about that. Usually these facilities, in fact, almost every rink in the city is nearly vacant in the mid hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that they could practice there for a couple of hours, which is what they do when they practice, as long as it didn't displace the public use of it. So more work to be done on that, but I think it's very compatible and I think it will really work.
That wording's interesting to me, Ken. As long as it doesn't displace the public, because I've had people say, oh, that's great, there'll be a field house there, but that's going to be the Stampeders, and we'll just get it
non-peak
time.
It's really important that, no, non-peak times, it's actually the reverse. The Stampeders practice is in non-peak times.
Okay.
As is our practice. Now, we're going to have a community rink in the event center, which will be available for the public.
Which will go back into the system,
right?
Right
back into the system.
Yep.
But we'll practice there for 3 hours. And the rest of the time it'll be back in. So it's really almost a reverse situation. The peak times for the public are not 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's really important that the field house have integrity, and the integrity of a field house is that it's for the public. So they have to appreciate and understand. I don't think we can ask for $200 million for a field house that the city wants and recognizes without saying, hey, it's a field house.
Yep.
It's not, we'll give you what's left over.
We're going to take your phone calls until the top of the hour, 403-240-4444. Rogers Wireless customer, *960. Now, again, if you don't get in today or something comes up, next Tuesday at 4 o'clock on this very radio station, our guest, Mr. King, will come back in and answer your questions on Calgary Next. What? Oh, hold on. We'll turn that on.
Mr. King is not coming back. Ken is coming back.
All right.
Everybody in the world, this is Ken, okay? Would you Cease and desist with this, Mr. King.
My bad. Yeah, my bad. Yeah,
very
all right.
bad.
Okay, I get it. I understand. Let's get back to the phone lines. Your questions on Calgary next. We are welcoming Craig to the program. Craig, you are on with Ken.
Hey, good morning, Ken. Thanks for taking my call this morning. Ken, I just wanted to start off by saying, you know, I've grown up in Calgary and, you know, been a Flames fan for a long time and, you know, really excited to see this project. You know, I think it's the Dome's iconic and all, but, you know, it's nice to see, you know, a cool new project coming up for both the Flames and the Stamps together. It's cool to see our city growing and developing. So I'm excited to see the project, but from what I've been hearing from a lot of people around me, kind of one of the major sort of objections or concerns that, you know, from people or that are saying is really to the cost and really how it's going to get paid. And I know you've heard them all, but, you know, why should taxpayers pay for, you know, a private facility, that type of thing, you know, and I get that the answer to the question is not, you know, necessarily simple, cut and dry. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but, Has the idea been thought of in looking at, you know, because I think there is benefit both ways. There's benefit to the city. There's benefit to, you know, the Flames group. So has there been thought to making things just split more down the center, you know, 50% investment, and then splitting the profits, you know, across the facility as a whole equally as well? Maybe even 50% ownership, just because the benefit is on both sides of the fence.
Well, Craig, I think that's really interesting. Now, I'm not sure how many people want to invest in professional sports, to be honest with you. It is not quite the business, I think, that people necessarily think. But we think with the $200 million in private equity from the owners and another $250 million, which is essentially user pay, which is really comes out of our ticket revenue, that is $450 million. Now, how do you finance the user pay? We're going to figure that out.
Right.
We're going to borrow money from whomever will lend it to us, and that might even be the city. But it's a loan. It has to be repaid. It has to be securitized. There's an interest rate. It's really largely an investment. So it is much closer to coming down the middle when you look at it that way. If you isolate the field house, with us or without us, we're going to build a field house in the city. It's a recreation priority. Mm-hmm. We just think this is a good time and a good place to do it. And that leaves you with the CRL, which is a little bit complicated. But if you go to the website, there's a good definition. And it's future taxes, provincial and city taxes, some of them for a while. And the net benefit, that is the overriding benefit, is far greater. There'll be a stream of taxes for this city forever, and a portion of them will go here. So we think it's more fair than it is sometimes characterized that, but that's a decision that people have to make on their own right, and we respect that.
And that's why you're going through this process, yeah, right? Yeah, there has to be that. By the way, Ken, the CRL, can we you were talking about CalgaryNext.com, your website, but there's also a website on the CRL in Calgary that talks about East Village and how it worked, right?
Right, and it's actually pretty good. You could direct them there and have a look at it. Actually, the same financial device was used to develop East Village, and it's a huge success by any standards. It's also the same facility that's being used in Edmonton to partially finance their Rogers Place there.
So community revitalization levy, you can go to CalgaryMLC.ca, CalgaryML.ca if you want more information on that. Time for two more callers, and we want to get to a couple of texts. Corey, you're on with Ken. Hello, Corey.
Hello.
Hey, you're Corey. On with Ken.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So my question is for Ken. At what point does the corporate funding kick in? And, you know, how does it impact the overall budget? Like when the stadium gets named? And is Scotiabank going to be involved?
Well, Scotiabank is the naming for the Scotiabank Saddledome. And as you would expect, when we arranged that deal a few years ago, it was a 10-year deal, and it may frankly expire before the beginning of this process, but we certainly want to talk to them. The corporate, what you described as the corporate funding kicks in, it all kicks in at the same time. I mean, there are progress right. payments for construction and that type of thing, but it all comes at the same time. And it is all interdependent. I use that term a lot. I mean, nothing's going to happen here if we don't clean up this creosote. So that whole file is under siege right now by a lot of really smart people, and the CRL will be examined by CMLC. Most of these things now move out of our hands and into the hands of the city administration and CMLC and the political forces that will, I think, hopefully, kind of get behind this and try and make it work.
Final phone call this morning for Ken comes from Jay. Jay, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. I had a comment and a question. The comment is that Calgary is my hometown, and I'm based out of Calgary, but I work in Edmonton, so I commute a couple of times a week. And I don't really know what you have in Calgary till you're out of it. So, and I've been doing this for a few years, and Calgary is a world-class city. And something like this that comes along, I think it's definitely, as we can all hear, it's embraced. My question was, how long will this whole entire financing process take? And are we waiting for Mayor Nenshi to come back from his vacation to get this started? And how aggressive are you going to be, Ken, to pursue this so that, and aggressively speaking, how soon can we start digging is my question. And thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Jay.
Really, really solid, Jay, in terms of your question. So we've talked to the mayor and councilors for a long time leading up to this. Actually, there was a whole bunch of non-disclosure, and I got to give them credit. They abided by the non-disclosure. Very difficult to do that when you're talking about an issue as big as this. The process, I said at our discussions with season ticket holders in the press that at a gallop, if we could do this in 5 years, it takes 3 years to build. You have to dig it. You can't phase it because it's an integrated project. You got to build it all at once. You can't build the field house or the stadium or the event center individually and then say, okay, well, we'll start with that. So you have to build it all 3 years. I think it's probably ambitious. But there's nothing wrong with being ambitious. Last time I looked, to try and see if we could fast track it. The city has fast tracked development permits and those types of things in the past. And if they're engaged in this and there is a political will, I think that could happen. So no, we're not waiting for anybody. What we're doing is we have been working on it long before we announced it, and we're going to be very aggressive trying to push it along. But there are administrative processes that just take time.
Ryan Pinder's been paying attention to the text line. Ryan, a couple of texts maybe that pick up on some of the things that we haven't heard from callers this morning. What do you got?
Yeah, some interesting ones. The whole premise of the proposal thus far is based upon the city owning the building. Someone asking, hi, Ken, what are the advantages of having the city owning the building? Would the city have property tax on the building? And would Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation be open to owning the building themselves? That's from Phil.
Well, I think in fairness to the city, because they are going to be an integral part of the financing structure, I think it should belong to the city. We'd love to own it and have somebody else pay for it, but that's not appropriate. So our ownership group felt very strongly that this is a city asset. There are benefits to the city owning it as well, and having, as there is with the Saddle Dome. The Scotiabank Saddle Dome is owned by the city. I don't know if that's commonly known or not, but I think that's the most appropriate and the most fair. The large tax base will come from everything that is built around it. How the tax on the actual facility will work is another one of that long list of things to be discussed and negotiated. But this should be owned by the city. It's appropriate that it would be.
Ryan?
Another one coming in just moments ago. with a project this big, this particular texter feeling inevitably there'll be cost overruns. In the situation of a cost overrun, who would be responsible? Let's say all of a sudden it's $100 million more than we thought because, hey, the price of concrete's way more than we thought it would be in 6 years. Who would be responsible for the overruns?
That has to be determined. But I had an interesting lunch with Mayor Gluck. Mayor Gluck is in Arlington, Texas. And what they did in Arlington, Texas with the Cowboy Stadium was they said, look, we're good up to here. And that's it. Anything over that is somebody else's responsibility. And my guess, it will act and look something like that. The other issue is talking to the potential contractors. I said, this is how much money we have. They said the same thing. Well, what about change orders and everything else? I said, you know what? This is what we've got. This is what we have to build. This is what we have to make it work with. So it isn't inevitable. There are lots of projects that come in on budget. And on time. So that's what we have to do. We have to have a Calgary solution.
And just to clarify the Arlington thing, you're saying up to a certain point, that would be the obligation of the city or of the private ownership?
Of the city.
Okay.
And then and that would be fixed. And my guess, it will be up to exactly what we've talked about. Now, let's assume that they say, you know, we're good with the structure that's in place. That's it. There is no more. I think that wouldn't be an unreasonable premise in there.
I know 4 years ago when I was doing a project on how do you build an arena, I talked to the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I, because at the time, and I think people forget how dire things were in Pittsburgh when that building got built. It's not the team that it was now. It's not. And his point was they put so much effort into the planning. The investment comes at the front end, right, Ken?
Yeah.
And have we seen, and your observation, you've been to Minnesota, you've been to Arlington, you've seen all of these projects. I get the sense that overruns aren't, for these projects, as prolific as they were with earlier projects 2 or 3 decades ago.
No, these things are now, they're actually built and constructed. We were in Minnesota, saw a model where the entire thing is built virtually. And you know where the pipes are and where the gas lines are and where everything else is.
Right.
And you're not running into the old, the new technology for construction is unbelievable. Now, it doesn't mean that if you in midway say, hold it, I want it to go north and south instead of east and west, you're not going to get poleaxed with it. But the truth is, you can be much more finite now. And we don't accept the notion that, well, they always go over budget. No.
Well, as the Hall of Famer Peter Marr says, you prepare, and if you use 10%, then you prepared enough. So we'll go along with that. Ken, really appreciate this. We want to let everybody know you are going to come back. You're going to be here on Tuesday. We'll take the same kind of calls. It's about the communication. It's about having that public forum. My last question in all of this, what is the relationship between the city? You host an event on last Tuesday. At the same time, the mayor releases and says it's all fine and well, but... you know, there's no money. How would you characterize the relationship between City Hall and your organization at this point?
I'm thrilled with it, including the dialogue that's going on in some quarters that says, well, hold it. This isn't what we want to be talking about now and that type of thing. They've been patient. They've been open-minded. Can't ask for more than that. And the city administration have been awesome to work with. CCMLC has been awesome. So I can't foretell, I can't predict how people are going to come down in the end, but I can tell you nothing good is easy. Doing nothing is easy. Nothing good is easy. And the folks at City Hall have been precious to work with. I'm good with it. And they don't all love it, but they're open-minded about it.
Two just reminders as we go here. One, CalgaryNext.com is the website if you want more information on the project. I think it's really important that we take a look at the Community Revitalization Levy and its role. And if you want more information on how that works, www.calgarymlc.ca. Ken, not Mr. King, Ken, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to listen to the views of your listeners.
Ken King, the president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation.